Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. We're going to be in the studio for a couple hours today. This first one, though, would be so great to have you with us here today. And when I say us, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Steve. We're doing good.
Well. Yeah, good. And if anybody wants to do good with us, well, here's the phone number. It's pretty easy, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Now, I have to remind everybody that it is just 3 days away, our marriage intensive. I think you could still sign up.
Can Maybe you? Seriously, you can still sign up?
I think you can still get in
there. Okay, I have people
last
I'm going to encourage.
Last minute addition. But, you know, you thought everything was going great, and then last night it blew up. So maybe that's God's will for you to get signed up and come to this. It really is one of the best things ever for a marriage. I just can't believe the impact that it has for people. They just want a little bit better, or it's over unless something really good happens, and they come, and they're not disappointed. So that you just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, ask about it's an intimacy intensive. It's all about the different levels of intimacy, physical, emotional, spiritual, sexual intimacy, all of that. We cover it, and I think it's just a great God-honoring way to spend a few days. And then, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just quit talking. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk with Liz from Fullerton, California, listening on KKLA. Hi there. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
I had so many questions, and I think I want to keep it safe. I have two grandsons. One is 11 years old, and he has some issues, and he's in New Jersey. The one I'm concerned about is my 8-year-old, and he's right here in Orange County. And his mom and dad just have a hard time with him focusing. He's great technical, anything. He comes and helps me with my computer and stuff. But when it comes to sitting down and reading or recalling, I'll take him to church and ask him, what did he learn about? And there's like a blank space.
Okay. Have they gotten any help for him? Have they consulted school counselors or anything like that?
No. And that's why I was calling. Is that the next step? Is that something that we need to look into at this time? Or is it an 8-year-old phase that'll come out of it? It's already affecting him at school.
Well, you know what, Liz, if it's affecting him at school, because one of the things, you can have your kid at home, and I remember the first time I put my kid into like a class, like it was a gymnastics class, and all of a sudden I went, oh, my kid's kind of squirrely. Oh, wow.
He's interesting.
You see suddenly this kid that you think is so brilliant and wonderful in every way, you start to notice the differences. And that helps you to assess. And the teachers are objective. So I think it's important to start there at the school. Ask them what they're observing. What do they have to help to make sure this kid doesn't get so far askew before you guys try to bring him back on track?
One of the great advantages of this day and age is counselors and assessors at the district level, school level. When I was in junior, I was telling my son the Board of Education was the principal taking me into the boiler room and literally giving me a spanking. with a board. That was the Board of Education. There was no counselor. There was no assistance there. Get your act together. But there are great resources there, and I think that's the first step. Get those parents to the school talking to folks. We'll be back right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Liz. By the way, if you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. And as is so often, it's not the mom or the dad calling who's concerned. It's the grandmother.
Yes.
And Jill, you have some thoughts, and Dave also.
Well, I just wanted to kind of continue, Liz, with what I was thinking, in that I want to also remind you that the school system and the way they teach is actually less productive for boys. Boys have a harder time in general sitting in their seats. But, you know, of course, that's a generalization. But so one of the things is you don't know if this is just, you know, some immaturity, an overactive kid. You don't know what it is. And so this is the time, as you see things, we don't just say, oh, he'll grow out of it. We tease it out. We don't overreact and we don't underreact to these kinds of things. But we watch and observe and tease it out and put some things in place that can help this kid learn. Because the last thing you want is for him to feel dumb or that he, you know, he can't do things. You want to really highlight his strengths, and it sounds like he does have strengths.
Well, boys tend to be doers more than passive learners, too.
Yeah, they don't like to just sit there.
No.
I mean, you had boys.
I had all boys, and they were always walking around in the classroom was one of the criticisms.
Right, yeah.
With the other boys.
Yeah, exactly.
But as a grandparent, you get to see things that the parents are too close to a lot of times.
True.
So I would talk to your kids and just some of your observations and the suggestion that we had that you talk to a school counselor or even talk to the teacher to see if it's a problem or if it's just something that's a phase. Take it seriously, but don't take it too seriously.
Right, yeah.
Is the rubric.
Well,
Steve, just not landing a label
on
a child at age 8 that might get stuck there.
So I was also thinking we should send her Purposeful Parenting, and as a grandmother, you can read that as well. And it was written by Jean Barnes, who is a longtime educator, administrator, and therapist.
And grandmother, too.
Yeah, and grandmother. She knows the school system and, you know, how to deal with kids at this age.
Okay. We'll get that to you. Really glad you called there, Liz, and hope something we've said is helpful, and not just to you, but an encouragement to all of you wonderful grandparents out there helping with kids. Let's go to Rich Medford, New Jersey, WKDI. Rich, how are you doing today? Rich?
Not so good.
Rich is having a problem there, and so that means we're going to go right over here to Jennifer from Houston, Texas. She listens on Sirius XM. Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. I have a 40-year-old son that has started having problems when he was a teenager. He lost his dad to cancer when he was 8, and we moved when he was 10. And then I remarried a few years later, and I was in a very emotionally abusive marriage for 25 years. And it terribly affected him and my other two. But I'm divorced now. I'm doing much better. The sisters are doing much better. But my son is very antisocial, and he won't have anything to do with me. Doesn't see his sisters.
What's he do for a living? How does he make money?
His wife works all the time, and he takes care. They have a business they started, mm-hmm. and he just does the things from the home, the computer research and that type of thing. And
so he's making it out in the world, but he doesn't mm-hmm. connect with a lot of other people and you.
No. And okay. he was drinking. He's not drinking anymore, so that's very encouraging. But I don't know how. I have tried everything in the world. I've apologized and told him, asked forgiveness for the things that I didn't do and should have done, and letting him live in that. All of us stay in the home that wasn't very healthy. I don't know what else to do. I'm very concerned about him and.
Let me ask you this. You said you were sorry. You apologized. Did you tell him why you stayed?
Oh, he knows. I mean, it kind of is sad, but, I've been a Christian for 40-something years, and I just thought the Lord was going to, I just kept thinking the Lord, if I prayed, enough and all that the Lord would eventually heal our marriage and my kids would see that and be wonderful and all that. And
looking back, do you think I'm just curious, do you think you really thought that, or did you use that as an excuse to not do anything?
I really believe with all my heart. But
say to somebody who is in an abusive situation with kids and they're just waiting for God to do that miracle? What do you say to them?
Get out.
Get out, yeah.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. God can still do a miracle if you protect yourself and the kids. It's not like, okay, if I move into a shelter, God can't perform the miracle anymore. That's just that little fatal thing that we forget, and I think it's wonderful that you have the insight now, and you have apologized.
I was too depressed and too,
beaten down, really, emotionally and physically.
But here's the thing. To think that God is going to do a miracle is it's kind of unrealistic, because miracles...
Well, sometimes we need movement, right, to
miracles
create the ripple effect.
Yes.
Right.
Miracles rarely happen. That's why they're called miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's also a little unrealistic to think that an apology to him is going to change him. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. Well,
it's,
I just want to look.
You, it's great that you apologized. I'm really glad you did. But it's going to take so much more. So here's my question. Here's what I was getting at. What's your relationship like with his wife?
It's a long story, but it's very good now. I mean, I'm back in her life, and I get see their children. And he helped.
Does that mean that she told you couldn't see the kids at one time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd have to go over to their house, and I'd have to see them outside, like on the driveway. I would have to. We would meet at the park to see them.
And why was that? What was she concerned about?
I just was afraid to go in there and see him.
You were afraid?
My son has some anger problems, and he would get. Zoomed in on something, or like obsessed with some problem, and he would not let go, and nobody could talk to him. Nobody could deal with his, he's very smart, very analytical, but nobody is able to talk to him when he's
So part of the alienation, Jennifer, is you backing away from him as well. And I would suspect that after having been in an abusive relationship for 25 years, you know, some of this is the after effect of that, the post-traumatic stress.
You mean for me or him?
Yeah, for you. And reacting to his anger.
And I can barely handle any kind of big conflict. I'm just can handle little, you know, emotional conflict.
Okay. I think that part of this, Jennifer, is you getting some help for being in this abuse, because how can you go and confront lovingly a child and embrace him who is so angry when it triggers for you all of your abuse?
Well, I've been to counselors for years.
Okay.
They helped me a lot. The Lord is just, I mean, literally, when I just cried out to the Lord to heal me, I had seen more progress, you know, like that. But I cannot find a counselor that is a really godly Christian counselor in the area I'm in. So I don't know. I've even called New Life and talked to them. And
so the counselors you don't feel are godly enough?
Well, I don't feel like they're... I don't know. I guess when I was going before for probably decades, I just was stuck in the same thing. I couldn't get out. So they were just, I was sitting there talking to them, basically.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes I know that that's hard to see what's doing, but part of our healing takes place in a relational context. You know, it's why, you know, Jesus came here to relate to us personally, right? We need that relational context. And it actually helps to change our brain chemistry. You know, whenever you're in a situation, if you don't understand how this is helping or what are we doing, that's why you're paying the therapist. You need to ask them.
Right.
So that you feel like it's collaborative and that you're actually going somewhere with what you're doing, so you can understand.
Right. Okay, so just to be clear here, you've got work to do.
Yeah.
The work that you do is going to help you, first of all, I think, with the relationship with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because if anything good is going to happen here, it's going to be because you and his wife having a great connection and are growing, and in a healthy context, you're assisting her in motivating him.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing where he is emotionally, he's in big trouble. He's really having a miserable life. And you need to really get yourself in a better place. And that's going to be a tremendous encouragement to him that he can be in a better place. But if you're still reacting to what happened years ago, it kind of gives him permission to still be reacting to it.
Right, but part of it isn't just, of course, you're going to react, but at the same time, I'm not hearing that you have a lot of resiliency, a lot of margin to deal with it and step in.
I'm doing so much better.
Okay.
The Lord has done so much, but that's it. I don't have that.
I
still feel like I have post-traumatic stress.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't handle much.
So it may mean a combination of things. It may mean trying a different type of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some EMDR work would help. Being in maybe a group context with other people that have been victimized. Some things like that to bolster up so you feel like you have the support and that you can separate your issues from him and not put him in the role of the perpetrator.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
Just to summarize, it's basically working through his wife in terms of building relationship and then seeing things there, but you need to be stronger so that you don't react to him and his anger.
Yeah, very good. And so I'm going to send you Understanding and Loving a Person with Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome because
good.
It
yeah.
will help you with him and yourself. I'm going to send you The Emotionally Destructive Relationship, a great book. and we'll get that to you. But I can't emphasize more the need for your healing and restoration to take place. In fact, I'll send you a restoration Bible. That will help you also. Because...
Right. And Steve, you know, sometimes you hear this where people go, but I've done the work. I've talked about that already. Well, it's a process, and we do what we can at any given time, and sometimes we have to come in and do some more work. I mean, we should be growing and working on ourselves lifelong.
Well, yeah. And some of the work she's got to do is getting the support system around her of other women.
Right. And again, not just waiting for God to do what she needs to step into.
Because when you're in an emotionally abusive relationship, you cut yourself off from, you feel so much shame, you don't want anybody to know what you're doing. And he doesn't. He cuts it off too. So it's not normal for you to be in healthy same-sex relationships, supportive Bible studies and stuff. But, oh my goodness, the answer is always the hardest answer. You're doing the thing you don't want to do. I want to talk to you about somebody asking me if they needed counseling the other day and tell you what I told them. We'll be back right after this.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 1st through the 3rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Jill, you got one final observation on our previous caller, and then I want to make a comment about whether or not you need
to. You know, I think when we are a person who has been so hurt, we have a very low trust threshold. And so it's kind of like, okay, who can we trust? Well, we can trust God. So I think that a lot of times we're waiting for people to spiritualize us into health instead of taking the action steps and taking some risks that we need to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. So here's the question that so frequently comes up. How do I know if I need counseling? That is not the question you should ever, ever ask. And you say, well, okay, well, what is the question? Would it be helpful if I got some counseling? Mm-hmm. And most likely, the answer is going to be yes. What is the downside is another question to ask. Me getting counseling.
Yeah, so true.
Well, I might have to pay the deductible. I might not have insurance.
I might have to pay to invest in myself.
I might have to pay for it, which I've heard people have children with severe severe problems say, well, our insurance doesn't cover it. Well, that, you know, we want insurance to cover things.
That drives me crazy.
I know.
But if
they'll sacrifice.
Yeah, if it's
not
there.
Sacrifice our health because insurance doesn't pay for it.
I know.
But really, ask the question really is, would it be helpful for me?
You know what? Because, Steve, you make such a good point. Because the other question, do I really need counseling, is really saying, am I that messed up that I would have to go to a counselor? It's coming from a premise of, oh, my gosh, I don't want to be that bad off.
Right.
Right? Instead of, do I want to grow? Do I want to improve upon my life?
Exactly.
Do I want to change things?
And so it's not a matter of how bad do I need to be before I need
right, exactly. Therapy. Don't wait till it's that bad.
Would it
you
be
make
beneficial?
It more difficult
it's a lot
for us, right?
Now, that's a really nice thing for you. It's also really great to approach it that way if you have a child who is having problems. Don't be asking, well, do you think I ought to get help for the... You know, would they benefit from,
right.
or is this whole thing? Now, and the whole thing of over-spiritualizing, that can be used as an excuse to reject somebody. So don't, you know, you need to really ask yourself, is that really appropriate for me to be thinking, well, this person just isn't a Christian enough, even though I heard from seven pastors that this person could really help me a lot. Everybody does it a little bit differently. And you don't hear us quoting scripture all the time here because we never want to say something just so Christians will know we're Christians.
Right.
We want to use it where it's absolutely appropriate. All right, let's go and talk with Frank. Frank lives in Franklin, Tennessee. I think that's handy, Frank.
That is.
I really do. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good afternoon. How are you guys?
We're okay.
Good.
What can we do for you today? We'd love to help.
Yeah, if something was on my mind and your opening kind of echoed it a little bit, having to do with couples and I've been thinking a lot about How do I enrich my relationship with my wife by praying together? And good Christian couples do so. I don't know where to start. We pray over our food. We're good church going people. We're involved, but we don't. It just occurs to me we don't spend a lot of time praying together. And I wanted to take Jesus up on what he said about when two or more gathered, and the two of us are together quite a bit, being married. So, wanted to see where you might point us and how to begin and that.
Well,
where'd you point?
Can I just first say, Frank, that the fact that you're even asking this question, you have all the women in the audience, you know, swooning because this is what I hear. Why doesn't my husband initiate anything? So that's great.
Well, it's Frank,
the things I initiate don't always get done. But.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Well, Frank, what I would do is first of all set a time that becomes a ritual. You know, my wife and I pray together before we go to bed. Some pray together in the morning, but pick a time and then it sounds like you're motivated. So keep the process going. If it's awkward to pray out loud together, then pray silently together and then say amen out loud and hold hands while you do it. And there's various ways that the idea is just to do it. There's no wrong way to do it. The idea is just to do it.
Well, I've got this Bible I'm going to send you, and it does it for you. It's got these 7-minute devotionals throughout the Bible. And then there's a prayer that you can pray together. It has each of you read scripture and then you pray together. So I'm going to send that to you. That will help. Now, I'm just curious, is there something that's come up in the relationship where you guys are having a new struggle and so you're thinking maybe the prayer could help? Is there anything like that going on?
No, we've got three adult kids. We've been married coming up on 26 years here in May.
Mm-hmm.
So we got three adult kids. My baby's a sniper in the Marines. Parents are getting older, and we get our occasional health scares with that. But, you know, we're just doing life. And
good. Okay.
I don't want to...
All right.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, and it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 15th to the 17th.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself and our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I've ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Really glad you're with us here. 1-800-229-3000. We'll do another program right after this, so hang on. I want to remind you that this ministry, well, we are supported, and the foundation of our support is Club New Life. So to ask you to consider giving... And oh my goodness, we are so grateful for every Club New Life gift that comes in. It just makes all the difference in the world. But we've tried to create a brand new thank you gift, and it's Mylon and Kay, four videos, long videos. And how do you parent an adult child? Not easy in this day and age. How do you talk to the young ones about sex? What are 12 questions that could change your relationship? And this thing called anger, how in the world is that impacting everything we do as we try to succeed in our relationship? Those are the videos, our way of saying thank you, and then you get access to the other videos and so many other benefits of Club New Life, especially knowing that every time somebody gets help, you were part of that solution. So if you'd call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We need your help right now. If you've never considered it, please just do it. And if you don't like it, we'll refund your misery. But I think you will love being part of this group, the giving family of New Life. It creates a new dimension. It'll bless you, and boy, will it ever bless other people. So you call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, I want to join that club. $30 a month is all it is, and it really does provide us with a foundation that we can count on every month. So 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that is the number for Club New Life. Please help us if you can. Let's go back to the phones. Frank, we're going to send him the 7-Minute Marriage Solution Bible. It's got those prayers in it. I did want to just, Frank, you didn't say any big issues or anything like that came up and all. But I want to encourage you to pray. And and the other thing is, I'm just going to say, you got these kids, tell them what you're doing, because you're setting such a great example. Be sure, you know, you're not spiritually bragging there, but be sure they know that they are being prayed for. I think it really motivates folks to kind of consider what they're doing when they know somebody is taking out the
time
to especially pray for them and all
that's
going
on in their lives. Yeah, I think it touches people's
lives.
Hearts when you know you're being prayed for, right? It's like you're thinking of me.
Yeah.
And that's
all right.
A cool
Glad
thing.
You called.
That's true, and you actually have to do it. I appreciate that. I don't want to wait for the problems to come up, to your point.
It's great to be intentional, Frank, and not just let the years pass by.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful.
Anyway, Jill's right. You're a hero.
Yeah.
A lot of women would be happy to have you come on by.
Yeah.
So
talk to
your wife.
Husband.
We said to be sure and appreciate you in all your glory.
Yeah. Right.
Glad you called. 1-800-229-3000. Let's go over here to Stacy, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening online. Hello, Stacy. How are you?
Oh, hi. Doing really well. Home on a snow day. I'm a teacher. My consideration is that I'm 65. I've never been married. Always knew in my heart that the Lord would have someone for me. Was a Christian since I was five. And it never happened. So a year and a half ago, I met a wonderful man, very mature, 2 years younger. He has been married, divorced about 12 years. And so we are talking about marriage. And so I would like to hear, please, your considerations for me marrying when my standards have been so high through the years. And decades ago, I made out a list. And it included some things that I'm not sure that I should still stick to. This man is wonderful, but he does not share my passion for Bach. He listens to everyday Christian music. I love to travel and have adventure. He'd rather stay home. And I have a high degree in education because I've been a teacher and didn't have any other way, children or husband, to give my life to. So I've been in education. So I never found anyone on eHarmony. I've been on that since about 15 years ago. And because my heart is so much not wanting to make a mistake at this time in my life, I'm wondering what considerations you would have.
Well, first of all, you know, Nancy DeVos lived a long time without being married, and then she married a friend of mine whose wife had died of cancer. It's interesting, before the wife died of cancer, she said, you know, Robert, maybe you should marry Nancy DeVos. And he did. So,
wow.
But, you know, she had never been married.
She picked out his next wife. How cool.
Yeah, she had never been married. So I would really tune into her ministry and look at some of the things that she's writing now about that experience and all. Here's a question. Do you respect him?
Yes, I do respect him.
What do you respect about him?
Admire him for the things he's accomplished in life. He's an electrician, but I admire his Christian maturity, his character, his good character.
Great.
So
now what, now
I'm
why,
not breathless
you,
over him. It's not that kind
Let
of passion. I enjoy being with him. He's
Great.
Good-looking. I'm attracted to him, and I do respect him. I don't admire what he's accomplished in life.
Okay, now you say you don't admire what he's accomplished. He's an electrician. If he's 65 or 64 or whatever, he's been an electrician a long time, right?
Pardon me?
If he's just a little younger than you, then he's been an electrician for a long time, right?
Yes, yes.
Does he love doing that?
Yes, he does. He does, well, and he always does a good job.
Well, let me tell you what
a slow, methodical worker and wants excellence.
Well, let me tell you, that is something to really admire about a man, because, you know, I've gotten to do a lot of things and I get a lot of praise for it and all that kind of stuff. Somebody like him doesn't get a lot of praise for just going to work every day, doing what he loves to do, being a responsible person and having a standard of excellence. I think that's a lot more worthy of praise than somebody like me or Dave or Jill. We get a lot of attention for what we do. So I would really think that through a lot on that respect thing. But you're respecting him for the thing the that's so valuable is his character.
Right.
And
yeah.
And that's amazing. And look, I've got a lot of people that I say, what do you love about this person? They're exciting, they're adventurous, you know, all this. And I'm sitting there shaking my head going, yeah, about 4 days after you're married, that adventure and excitement has a lot of potential to go away. And what you're looking for is someone you enjoy being with.
Right, who can go the distance, right?
So you're, you know, all of this other criteria. In fact, I was just reading a quote about this. When you're young, marry somebody that you enjoy conversing with, because everything when you're older is going to go away except you're conversing with each other. And so what you're saying is you enjoy him. It's not one of your criteria, but it really is one of the fundamentals of a great long-term relationship.
Well, and
Dave, your thoughts?
The other thing, Stacey, let me say two things. One, your list is a guide, not an absolute. So there are things on your list that you're going to scratch off and say, not as important as I thought it was. So don't be afraid to do that. The second thing is get some premarital counseling with a counselor that's experienced in working with couples, and go for 6-8 sessions together and get to know each other in that context, because that will a good counselor will bring up issues that will need to be discussed and understood, and it will be the most clarifying process you can go through.
Well, Dave, I would say there really is only one criteria that you ought to focus on, and that is, will he get premarital counseling with me?
Right.
Yeah.
If he won't, that's a good sign.
At your age, everybody should. But this should be done from a perspective of, you know, what is it really like once we're married? Can you help us with, you know, get ready for that and make that adjustment? But I'm going to tell you, if you haven't gotten married by now, there are going to be all sorts of landmines, red flags, things like that that come up. I'm always discouraging people from getting married because, you know, they've rushed into it and all these motives. But
I don't think she's rushed.
No, in your case. No, in your case.
I've been patient.
I think your values are right and all. It's just, you know, this thing about being set in our ways, is that's really true. We do. And so both of you are going to have to look at how are we going to make these adjustments. And how's that going to be?
Yeah, what's the level of willingness on each side to meet in the middle, right?
And then soon as you can, get to the marriage intensive that we do once you're married, and that's going to help you grow deeper and richer. It'll be amazing to you just how valuable that experience will be. I'm encouraging of you. I'm going to send you, is this the one? I think it is, probably.
Said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant? I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm perfecting my style. We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And we're going to go to Rich. We tried Rich earlier. Here he's back. And we're glad. Rich, how you doing? Medford, New Jersey. WKDI is the station. What's going on?
I'm so glad to be your first caller.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks for hanging in there with us. Hey, what's
so
going on?
It's so good to hear you. You know, it's so good to hear you. I haven't heard you for years. I've been up North Jersey, and I haven't heard you for a while. So it's great. I'm working down here, and it's great hearing you again. I have something you can help me with. I've been dating a woman. I'm 73, mm-hmm. And she's probably around 67, 68. She'd been alone for a long time. I just recently found out from helping her with something in her house that she's an extreme hoarder.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, extreme? Kind of, tell us about how bad it is first.
Well, extreme. It's so bad. It's just when you come to her front door, there's a path that walks through. Everything on the tables are piled 2 to 4 foot high.
Okay.
The sink, everything is, you just can't negotiate your way around. I don't know how she lives. But.
And she allowed you in her house, so there wasn't that element of shame or embarrassment.
Yeah, she did. It took a while. It took about 6 months, but, you know, finally she had a breakdown in her plumbing and asked me if I could help her, and I was appalled. I didn't really make it so obvious. I just, you know, because things kind of roll off my back anyway, but. So,
what does she say about it? What's her
kinda,
take on it?
Here's the problem. I knew she was, but from dating her casually for the last 6 months, that she was extreme hurt. In other words, she was raised by nuns. Her mother was a prostitute. Mm. She met her father at his gravestone, didn't know her father. You know, the family problems were so extreme. So when I found out about the hoarding, I said, well, it makes sense. I knew there was a deep hurt. But here's the deal: is do I draw a line in the sand with her getting help? Saying, look, because I already told her, I don't know how deep I can go in this relationship since I'm finding out some of the things. You really need help, and she was totally, you know, refuses. I don't need anything. I'm fine. You know, mm-hmm. Whether it's from the therapist at the church or you know, nobody. So I'm wondering, should I draw a line in the sand and say, look, I can be your casual friend here, but I can't go any deeper because that's the way I feel, you know?
Well, I think I'm really glad that you called. I think you're being very realistic unless, you know, you want to live not just that way, but, you know, we talk about this thing of stubborn resistance.
Yeah.
Right.
And if she's not going to get help for that, well, then pretty much she's not going to ever be willing to get help. Or, you know, just if you had some normal things come up, you go, yeah, but that'd be great if we went to see a counselor about that. Well, she's not going to do that.
Right. No, or how would you live? How would you live together?
Oh, I couldn't.
Right?
No, I couldn't live like that. No.
Yeah. So
right.
I here's the question.
I've told her, look, here's what I'll do. Next time I come over your house, I'm going to have a couple of big plastic bags with me, and let's go through some stuff. I'll help you. And she's, no, I can't even decide what to do. And I've seen the hoarding programs, and that's
panic.
Typical.
Right.
Yeah, and it's very resistant to any kind of change.
But see, she there wasn't anybody she could really count on, right? So it's like, I don't need help because I haven't had help in life. And so she's protected herself and attached to things. Right.
All right. Now let me ask you this: outside of her house, before you saw it, what was great about your relationship? What was good about it?
Well, first of all, she's a knockout.
Okay.
You know, she's a pretty girl for her age, and she's a lot of fun. We've had fun together. I took her out for her birthday, and we've had fun. But she has anger issues. Can pop up like a, you know, she very she can criticize people and doesn't have a lot of friends in the church and doesn't have any girlfriends. The girls from the church all stay away from her like right. She's Dracula or something. You know what I mean?
Okay. So, so let us help you here. We don't have a lot of time. I think you can have a role in her life, but you have to be careful, you know, because
absolutely
the time that you spend with her, you might be missing something else with someone who's willing to make some changes. But the other thing is, if you enjoy being with her and all, there is a chance that after you have been with her a while, she might see life a little bit differently if you're a healthy guy who's not a user or a taker, mm-hmm. you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we don't know the answer to that, but I would protect my heart if I were you, just man to man. I wouldn't be expecting her to change, and right. I would limit nope. my time to the amount of time that I can be with her in a healthy way, knowing that she's probably not going to do the things needed for this to become a great relationship.
And Rich, I would, instead of focusing on the stuff, I would get to know her and talk about her hurt and empathize with what it must have been like for her growing up and not having people there and having a mom who's a prostitute. You know, she's let you know that. So I would emphasize that and her difficulty in attaching to people, and yet she's such a fun person that you enjoy. And I would also, for kind of your education, I would go to a Clutter Anonymous group. They also have great literature that talks about, you know, the clutter of the mind and that it's not about the stuff. It talks about the emotions behind it. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe down the road you could get her to go with you.
I don't know you very well. I love your spirit there, Rich.
Yeah.
I really do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the internet is just so great and instantly giving you some insights mm-hmm. here. I would let me send you this book on depression, understanding and loving a person with depression. It just helps you to relate to somebody who's really struggling in any area. It's part of that Arterburn Wellness series and so many other things there. She's kind of struggling with, you know, a post-traumatic stress
right.
of childhood there,
yeah.
and
yeah,
childhood. Really traumatized and paralyzed in that. And but I just would say this, don't, the worst thing you could do is build up some expectations of her
yeah.
and then get frustrated and then just leave her and
right.
abandon her. So just keep her heart in mind while you're protecting your own. Really glad that you called, and want to encourage anybody else. If you're struggling with anything or you want some help on how do I get some help to this other person, just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love to help you. Some of you know that your marriage is in trouble, or you know that there's some great room to grow in your marriage. And if that's the case, you could call us and join us this weekend at the Marriage Intensive. We would love that. I think it would change everything for you. And please consider that, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I've talked about Club New Life also. Some of you, you're blessed more than you thought after the beginning of the year. If you could help us with a one-time gift, Dave and I sat down and we did a recording on how do you make these changes that you want to make last. And I think you'll really find it so helpful. We'll send that as our way of saying thank you for a gift of any amount. Don't forget the Restoration Bible. You can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, along with a lot of other great resources like Dave's book, Change the Way You Think. Change, what is it, Dave?
Change Your Life.
Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. And Jill's got Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. We also mentioned Purposeful Parenting by Gene Barnes. Hang on. If you want to join us for the next program, 1-800-229-3000. We love you. We thank you for listening to us. Tell somebody about us. Help us if you can. Pray for us no matter what. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.